Tomorrow evening in Christchurch, the Hillary Institute will be hosting Cristina Figueres via technology, as she happens to be based in Costa Rica. Cristina oversaw the delivery of the landmark Paris Agreement on Climate Change exactly 5 years ago to the day when she was the UN climate chief, and she becomes the Hillary Institute's 10th Hillary Laureate. She'll be beaming in to address the assembled guests to tell us a bit more about having Cristina as a laureate and the event itself. I'm joined by founding director of the Hillary Institute, Mark Prain. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dizzy. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you as well. Can you give us a bit of background on the Institute and the Laureate Award?
Right, well, the Institute has been in business, if you will, JC, since 2007, when Sir Edmund launched it off the ice in Antarctica, in fact, my 50th birthday. Since that time, we've focused in the international space primarily on the idea of choosing one exceptional Hillary Laureate in mid-career from around the planet. So Cristiana's the 10th in that time frame, and she joins a pretty remarkable group of characters.
How often do you give the laureates out?
Just one a year, and it's a blind process, so you can't apply, Jesse. It's a bit secret squirrel. We quietly do our due diligence in the background, and then they get a call out of the blue, which basically says, would you like to work with us for the next year as the Hillary Laureate? And thankfully, none of them to date have said no.
What is the purpose of the Laureate?
Well, the idea really is that these people are already very well established, and what they have in common over the last decade or so is most of them are in some way engaged with planetary health and well-being. So climate is a big issue in that context. The idea is these are not people who are starlings, you know, that's starting in their career, and they're not old farts like me, Jesse. They're in mid-career. They are people who are doing real stuff. They're achieving real gains. They have huge influence. Cristiana being an obvious example there, she's a kind of a rock star in the international community in this space. So what we do with them is just say, look, how can we assist you in the time you're with us as a laureate to actually do more, frankly, of what you're already doing. So we're not saying to them, you know, we want you to do something special for us. We're saying, how can we work with you? And how can we, with your fellow laureates, advance the work that you're practically doing?
And so what happens tomorrow night?
Well, tomorrow night she comes in, as in the intro you said, we have to beam her in, frankly, from Costa Rica, which is where she's gone home to. She's normally based in Paris, but with COVID, a lot of us have had to return to our home communities, and hers is Costa Rica. Her father was the famous president who dispatched the military, which is a world first also a generation ago. So that's where she is. We're beaming her in, she will address invite an audience here, COVID scale, in our home community of Christchurch, which nominally is where the Institute has been based for its time, although our work is dominantly international. Alongside her, she'll be introduced by her old friend and colleague, of course, Alan Clark, who worked alongside her in the UN for many years. And then a variety of others, including the Climate Minister, James Shaw, Ed's son, Peter Hillary, and some of our own fellows. There's also the Edmund Hillary Fellowship, which is an entrepreneurial-based program based in New Zealand. There's 500 of them over the last 4 or 5 years.
And then there's this Hillary Step. What's that all about?
Well, the Hillary Step is the original idea, Jesse, of the fact that Ed and Tenzing Norgay got over that impenetrable barrier for the first time to get the top of Everest. These days, of course, with the tech that now exists, it's a relatively common practice, although going up over the Hillary Step itself is still relatively uncommon. But in their day and the tech that they had, this was an extraordinary achievement. It's just the idea of saying to all of us, really, look, we all have a Hillary Step within us. We can all look at what seems to be the impossible moment, and how can we overcome that? How do we maintain the kind of what Cristiana would call stubborn optimism, what I would call militant optimism, to enable us to get to achieve the impossible, if you will, to get past the barrier that stands in the way of most of us.
Can you tell us a bit more about Cristiana's achievements?
Well, let me go back quickly. You may recall in 2009 in the Copenhagen UN process, we started the week In fact, myself and Jeremy Leggett, our first laureate, were there. And it was a week which started rather badly and got progressively worse, and we ended up with no agreement. At that moment, Christiana stood up in the international forum and said, "No, I won't accept this. We are going to make this happen." And she spent the next 6 years between then and the Paris 2015 climate agreement doing just that. She harnessed, with an incredible display of tenacity and diplomacy, if you will, to get us to a point where, in fact, the week we experienced in Paris in 2015 had a great outcome, which was the Global Compact, the Global Agreement on Climate Change. And just a wee end game to that story, if you will, within moments of the Biden-Harris win a couple of weeks ago in the US, there was a meme went around the planet of Cristiano jumping up and down on the spot. Enough said, because, of course, the US will re-enter the climate agreement on day one of the Biden administration.
Do you hope to see any sort of tangible work from her as a Hillary laureate, or is it more of a symbolic bestowal?
Well, it is tangible, Jesse. We were working with the our own administration, Jacinda Led, in terms of how we can apply and support New Zealand's own efforts in the climate space. As you know, with the climate emergency being announced last week, we also need to, you know, get past the gap of rhetoric to reality. And she'll be working directly with the government on that in the next few months. Tangibly also, she runs an extraordinary podcast, which I would strongly recommend to your listeners, called Optimism and Outrage and Optimism, if you will. So outrage in terms of the distraction of social media, and optimism in terms of how you can turn that into a positive. And she is constantly in demand all over the planet, both as a speaker, but also in terms of, you know, encouraging and inspiring people to pragmatically understand that we all have a contribution to make, and we can make it. In the past, one of the views of the cynic, if you will, is that this is all too hard. There's nothing I can do individually. Well, we can all do something. And we're part of a growing chorus of characters all over the planet who are shifting the dial now. And the urgency is real. But also, it's almost like we're in a renaissance period in terms of what's possible in the next 10 years. Christiana is one of those very, very real pragmatists who just gets on with it and encourages others to do the same.
And the US aside, how have those 5 years been since the Paris Agreement? Are there signs of progress?
Yes, there are very real signs of progress. I think particularly if you look at the shift in investment globally, you know, I mean, again, the cynical community says follow the money, right? Well, follow the money. Look what's happening with major investments. $60 trillion has now moved in terms of divestment from traditional fossil stocks, for instance, into renewables. This momentum is growing by the day. It's not just about, you know, manifestly obvious examples like electric cars and so on and so forth. It's significant sovereign fund investment. And this is coming from some of the world's largest corporations. So, you know, we have every reason for optimism based on that determinant alone. And there are many, many other sectors you can look at now where the reality of the future we choose, as Christiana would say, in terms of the book she's just written, is there to be had. And the smart money is interested, and governments increasingly are realizing that this is not only possible and desirable for us all in terms of a healthy planet, but can also be very good economically.
You might not know the answer to this, but I wonder if Sir Edmund Hillary was aware of climate change happening, whether it was something he was starting to get interested in and passionate about towards the end of his life.
He was, Jesse. Perhaps the wee story I could tell there is that when I went to see Ed with his outrageous idea of this thing called the Hillary Institute, he met me in his house in Remuera, and he said two things to me. He said, "I've Googled you," which I found terrifying, coming out of the mouth of an 85-year-old. And the next thing, without me having a chance to say anything, was, "Where shall we do this? Not should we do this?" And a huge part of Ed's motivation, as you know, is the work that he himself did in terms of planetary health, particularly in the Himalaya, where his own trust has been working for 55 years with the communities there. So, I mean, yes, it was. Would climate change per se have been right at the front of Ed's mind at that time? Well, probably not, but he certainly understood best principles of sustainable best practice, healthy planet, and social justice. So all of those bells are very much in his mind, which is why, as I said, the decision for him to lend us his name in this effort was an easy one.
One of the nice parts of your job must be hearing about some of the good work being done by New Zealanders around the country.
It is. And now that I'm spending a lot more time myself back in New Zealand, I'm becoming far more aware of those stories, dear. But, it's fantastic. You know, as I say, there's plenty out there to be optimistic about. There's plenty out there to celebrate. We just need to keep, the foot to the pedal here and keep building on the momentum.
Well, I know tomorrow is your big night. Congratulations and thank you for all the work that you've put into it and for promoting change in New Zealand and around the world. And congratulations on giving this laureate to such a prestigious and impressive person, Christiana Figueres. Nice to talk to you today.
Thank you, Jesse. Thanks for your time. And of course, Christiana's address will be up online shortly after the event for your audience who are interested. Thanks so much, Jesse.
Good to know. Thank you. That's Mark Prain, who is founding director of the Hillary Institute.